I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We have a busy 4 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by the Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez coming up in about 15 minutes. We're also going to be joined by somebody who I think at some point should be in Canton, Ohio. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearances are presented by Silverstein Eye Centers. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center and by GEHA. They're a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis, I know it's always football season when we welcome you back on the show on Monday. How are you doing today?
Man, awesome. This weather, it's just fantastic. Tell T-Gons hi, by the way, when you have him on. You know, we were together last during the draft when it was here, and it was such an awesome evening. That guy, I mean, you think he played 17 years and got one playoff win, it breaks your heart. If he could have played on this team with this coaching staff, this quarterback, it would have been vastly different for him, but it's such a good guy, so tell him hi.
Absolutely. Mitch, happy to have you on today. You've got a chance to see a lot of exciting rookie debuts as your time as the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Where would you put Xavier Worthy's debut? He touched the ball 3 times, and he scored on 2 of them.
It's right up there, and to do it in different ways. The end around isn't necessarily designed to be a touchdown at the red zone. It's designed to it's blocked as well as it was. I mean, Creed Humphrey's blowing people up. Trey Smith was great. But then when Xavier Worthy hit the extra gear, then the Ravens are like, whoa, what was the blur? So that play's not always designed to have a touchdown in the red zone, but it's designed to make the defense's eyes go, side to side. Then to score on a really good route and a route concept, and then have another catch that was significant. It just gave notice that, and then you put Hollywood Brown out there at some point, just gave notice that this is on. I don't know what Pat told you in the 3 o'clock hour, but we're going to talk about that tonight on the show with Mahomes at the Hall of Honor. But it's right up there, because it looked like he fit right in and didn't play like a rookie at all.
Yeah, I think what excited me most about watching this offense on Thursday is last year I think they really lacked the sizzle, the splash play. I think that's back in this offense, and this isn't even an offense that was operating at full capacity. I know Juju was on the team, but Juju just got back here a week ago. You're trying to get Hollywood Brown back into the mix as he's out with an injury right now. This offense can only grow and grow and grow over the course of the next 4 months.
No question. You want the sneaky one in that discussion?
Who is it?
Samaj P. Ryan. When Brett Veach said, hey, I can't be at the kickoff luncheon, and it was, peculiar scheduling because it was the day you're putting the practice squad together and going through the waiver wire, but we're last on waiver claims, and I didn't think anything crazy was going to happen. And then I'm getting pinged that Samaj P. Ryan is going to be on this team. And you and I had even talked, and I thought, well, who's going to take Jerick McKinnon's spot as a third down back? Hey, that hot read the other day on that sellout, like a 4-week blitz that the Ravens ran, that is a fingernail away of being a walk-in touchdown. Samaj Perine is going to make a big impact on this team. And like the last piece of the puzzle, you saw Noah Gray have maybe his best game of the year. I'm going to talk with Coach Reed about it tonight before we talk with Patrick about Noah. So then the ones we know, the explosive plays, but now you throw Perine and improving Noah Gray in there, hopefully getting something, later out of Jared Wiley. And so, yeah, this is super exciting. There's a high, high, high ceiling to this offense.
There was a lot of conversation about who the number two corner was going to be. I think we have our answer. You always called me Snap Count Dot. I mean, Trent McDuffie didn't get off the field. He played on all 80 of their snaps. And then Jalen Watson, he played in 97% of the snaps, 77 out of the 80 defensive plays that they had. And I thought he played really well. I thought he made one of the defensive plays of the game with the pass breakup against Zay Flowers.
No question. That was, yes, one of the top three defensive plays of the game. And then coming off a slow preseason, we saw how he played in the preseason games, and he was working through the injuries and trying to get reps when he could, but he was rotating in. But I wouldn't say he had probably the worst preseason he's had to this point. But then it shows you his ability to stay confident. That 22 draft class is just built that way. They're such a unique group, and they're very mature mentally and emotionally, which is what I've told you a lot of times over and over about those guys. Well, it's an example. He came in confident that he could make play 97% of the snaps, whether they're in base, nickel, dime, or whatever, and he showed up. And so did some of the other guys in that secondary. But, yeah, I mean, his height, his willingness to be physical, to make tackles, same thing with McDuffie, his fourth down play. McDuffie's was spectacular. But for Jalen Watson to play that well, especially after not having a great preseason, I thought said a lot about his maturity and growing into being a pro.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, recapping week one, also getting his thoughts as we look ahead to week two against the Cincinnati Bengals. Mitch, you gave us some great stats in the preseason about the kickoff rule. I think the kickoff rule worked pretty well in week one. We saw a kickoff return. We saw a couple of big returns. You and I have a lot of the same critiques about the kickoff rule, but all in all, I would say the league has to be happy with week one and how that change affected the game.
I would say a little bit medium on it. I think the league would probably say, whoa, way too many touchbacks. And maybe I'm influenced by our game. But I think there's going to be an adjustment to the rule where they're going to give it the ball to 35 on a touchback instead of the 30. Now, the one thing they also have to do, in my opinion, to get more returns is to back up the coverage team at least 5 yards. They're too close. By the time the returners get the ball in the landing zone, the coverage teams are all over them. And so to get more returns, make it more of a penalty on a touchback, and back up your coverage units 5 more yards at the least.
Hey, Mitch, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I got you. No, you cut out for a second. My apologies. Right now we're talking
Sorry about that. I don't know if you heard me finish it, but I'd say make the touchback at the 35 and then back up the coverage units 5 yards. You'll get more returns.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, for a couple more minutes here. We got Tony Gonzalez coming up at 4:15. Mitch, I know you always have a stat about the next game. I guess I want to get your thoughts on Cincinnati. I would say the thing you have taught me the most over our years of having these conversations, that August matters. Mini camps, OTAs, everything that leads up to training camp matters. And every year, Cincinnati just starts so slow. And you have to attribute it to how they handle the offseason. I mean, the last 6 weeks for Cincinnati, it's always been something. It's been Burrow's injury. It's been their number one wide receiver unhappy about his contract. The number two wide receiver is unhappy about his deal. And now he's not playing in the game. That offense looked absolutely lifeless on Sunday against the New England Patriots. And now you're coming into a spot that I don't want to call it a must win in week two. But boy, you don't want to start 0-2. You don't want to continue every single year to put yourself starting at a deficit.
And I think it's the least talked about big story in the league right now. And it's not just the Bengals, it's everybody else. The biggest thing, and me teaching you that, was really just bouncing it off Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Because those two guys, a coach for the last 12 years, and Patrick for the 7 years he's been in the league, because I saw it even the year he apprenticed with Alex Smith, was the fact that not just August matters, but June matters, May matters, April matters, OSPs matter, OTAs matter. Pat has his own OTAs, mandatory minicamp. We're seeing a league, CDOT, where agents are telling guys, no, go to OTAs, get those. You can work out with me or our guys and we'll be just fine. We had a prominent quarterback this year who's playing tonight that missed the mandatory minicamp of his team because he took a trip to Egypt. Now, can you imagine Patrick Mahomes blowing off mandatory minicamp and going, yeah, I think I'll go to Egypt. Like, I don't think Brittany would let him do that. You've got to prepare to play this game, and you can't get off to slow starts. It's like 13%. I'll give you the definitive number next week. Remind me to bring it up. if you start 0-2, the lower chances of making the playoffs. Now, the Bengals have made it starting 0-2, but it's a rough way to try to do things. And you've just got to emphasize the start to the season. It's why you have to play some in the preseason. Just like I think Coach Reed has the perfect approach. They set out the last game, but that middle game, they're getting, 20 to 25 snaps. And so you've got to prepare yourself to play in the NFL and football for sure. It's why these high school teams have jamborees, is to minimize their first week mistakes. College teams don't have preseason games, but you see all kinds of mistakes made in the opening game of college games. That's also why a lot of the FBS or power schools will go schedule down games with lower FCS opponents, because they basically want to have a preseason game. You have to prepare. Andy Reid, if he wins this game, I believe will be 29-9 in September. If the Bengals lose this game, they will be 1-9 in the first 2 weeks of the season for the last 5 years. That's more than just Burrow hurting his thumb or having an appendicitis. That's more of a fundamental breakdown of how you prepare a team.
That is Mitch Holthus joining us on the show today. His appearance is presented by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center, and by GEHA. They are a proud partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, you guys have a very special Kingdom show later today.
Yeah, this is one of the fun nights of the year. So we have it at the Hall of Honor. All of the Hy-Vee stores had registrations. I think there's 19 in the KC metro area. And there were people drawn out of each one of those stores that will be there tonight as a special guest. It's done at the Hall of Honor, and Patrick will be the player guest, and Coach Reed will be on before Patrick. So we'll have two Canton, Ohio Pro Football Hall of Famers tonight, but we'll also be in the Hall of Honor. And it'll be awesome to talk with Patrick, who broke Len's record on the game on Thursday night. And he did it fittingly, as I said during the play-by-play, in that 23-yarder to Kelce. Only fitting that Patrick broke Lenny's record on a throw to Kelce, because you're just talking Pro Football Hall of Famers with all three of them. So it'll be fun to talk about that tonight with Patrick and a whole lot more. And I put it out on Twitter/X. One thing I'm going to talk to Patrick about is one of the things I think that makes him tick. And it happened during training camp this year. A guy came up to me during camp in St. Joseph and showed me something. Now, you'll see it if you go to my Twitter page. It's at Mitch Holthus. It's easy to find. But it's something that Patrick talked about with me when I was with him in Tyler, Texas, April before last year's season, 23. And we're going to get into it tonight, but you'll discover one of the reasons why Patrick Mahomes is the kind of player and the kind of human being that he is. And he's just a unique dude, man. It's so easy to take him for granted. One of the questions I'm going to ask Coach tonight, what are the things that we could take, what do we take for granted in having Patrick Mahomes as our quarterback? We'll jump into all that tonight. It should be fun.
That is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus. Be sure to tune in to the Kingdom show later today. Mitch, appreciate your time.
Thanks, bro. Again, tell T-Gons hi.
Absolutely, I will do. That is Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the Hall of Famer, Tony Gonzalez, up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. Coming up momentarily, we are expected to be joined by Tony Gonzalez. He does fantastic work with Amazon. They got Thursday Night Football that begins this week. A little Bills and Dolphins, certainly a game that Chiefs fans are going to want to keep an eye on. You know, you might need to actually play one of those teams, play Buffalo later on in the season. So, you know, certainly a game that you want to keep an eye on with two AFC contenders. We'll catch up with Tony Gonzalez here coming up in just a bit. We have been talking a lot about week one of the NFL season. We have the first radio call today into Cleveland Sports Radio. We have to play that for you. We will play that later at some point today. I think that Deshaun Watson is the number one story for this week in the National Football League. He just was bad. I mean, that's just the way to put it. He was just bad. Actually, we do have it. Still waiting to try to get Tony Gonzalez here. Let me play this for you. This is Cleveland Sports Talk. This is the first call that they took this morning on their morning show. It went as you thought it was.
Good morning, boys.
All right.
He's quoting Daniel Caffey. Please. Two numbers. You'll figure them out. 42.9, 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating, Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this for one more second. That's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. The very first call out of the box, we're going to do this. I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back. Only to play us. That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it. You ready to go to another one?
Go ahead.
There are two versions of Deshaun Watson. There's two. The first version of Deshaun Watson was one of the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League. He was. That version of Deshaun Watson was a potential face of the league. It wasn't that long ago that we looked at Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson as the faces of the league. Well, two of them have continued to be that. Lamar Jackson has won two MVP awards. So has Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going on to be one of the most decorated quarterbacks in the history of the league, and he's not even 30 yet. The other one is a predator. The other one is currently being sued again for being inappropriate to women. Yes, there is another lawsuit right now for Deshaun Watson. Another one. From an October 20th situation, he went on a date and something happened. I don't know what happened. I'm just telling you right now that Deshaun Watson is being sued for sexual assault and battery while on a date in October of 2020. There's two versions of Deshaun Watson. One version of Deshaun Watson was one of the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League. Then we found out about his personal life, and things have taken a crazy turn for him as a player. So we'll obviously continue to monitor the situation, but I think Deshaun Watson is the biggest story of week one of the NFL season. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of the greatest football players of all time. He is a six-time first-team All-Pro, four-time second-team All-Pro. He is on the All-Decade team for the 2000s. He is also in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He also is a part of the Amazon Thursday Night TV crew. Thursday Night Football, you can catch that exclusively on Amazon Prime Video. Thursday night starting this Thursday for Bills and Dolphins. Let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by Tony Gonzalez. Tony, happy to have you join us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Good to be here.
Absolutely. First off, let's start with a couple of stories here. I was going back and I took a look at when you had your first touchdown. It was in 1997, week six. Tell us a little bit more about your first touchdown.
Was it that long? I thought it was. Took me 6 weeks?
It did.
Yeah, I remember that play. I think it was the old out and up the seam. It was against the Miami Dolphins. Fond memory for me, first time doing it. I think I remember Andre Bad Moon Rising coming over and jumping in my arms. He was so happy for me. And I remember that was kind of the coolest thing because I was a big fan of Andre coming into the, you know, watching him as I grew up. He was even an older guy at that point. And for him to come up and celebrate with me, it was really cool. Then Derek Thomas meet me at the sideline, telling me congrats. Just a fond memory for me.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment? Because you and I both know Neil Smith very well, and he kind of tells me the story of he tackled Tony Dorsett, and he helped him up, and then Bill Moss goes over there like, hey, we don't do that to the opposing team. Like, that was kind of his, hey, I'm in the NFL moment. What was that moment for you?
So I was a holdout in camp my rookie year. I was 9 days held out because of, you know, contract issues, Carl Peterson stuff, and who knew that was going to be the future for me every time. I show up 9 days late, and I show up first day, and Marty Schottenheimer says, once I get done signing my contract, we're out at River Falls during training camp. We're practicing against the Minnesota Vikings that day. He says, congratulations, shake my hand, and he goes, go put your pads on. And practice was halfway over at this point. And I'm like, seriously? He goes, go put your pads on. I'm like, oh, okay. This is old school football back in 97. And we go out there in full pads. I don't have a two-day, three-day warm-up. They literally throw me out there to the dogs. And I remember I caught a pass over the middle. And I can't remember. I think it was Robert Griffin from the Minnesota Vikings. He knocked the hell out of me. And I remember thinking about, and I had left school early. And I remember I'm lying on my back with a ball in my hand. And I feel like my shoulder's about to fall off. And I said to myself, like, man, I should have stayed in football. I should have stayed one more year in college. These guys are tough out here. But that was kind of my welcome to the NFL, getting thrown to the dogs right away.
Tony, I don't want to date you here, even though I mentioned your first touchdown was in 97. But, like, you go to a lot of practices. You're around the league a lot. You got to look at these guys, and these guys don't have to go through two-a-days anymore. You went through Marty Schottenheimer. I'm talking River Falls, Wisconsin. You had some tough, grueling days. These new players, they don't know how easy they got it.
They have no – when I look at the league nowadays, and I'm thinking about Charles Barkley and Shaq now when they talk about back in my day, and it's so true. Everything has changed. And I'm not even going to argue it. It's probably changed. It's changed for the better. It's better than it was. But, man, I remember you'd go to training camp. You would be almost sick thinking about training camp coming up. Two-a-days. I'm talking the whole camp, like two-a-days in full pads. And now they barely even use pads at camp. They go one time a day. But, you know, it is what it is. The game has evolved. Tight ends don't really put their hand in the dirt anymore. They get to just catch footballs all day long. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. And the league couldn't be in a better spot. But I do reminisce sometime, and I do think, man, it would have been nice to play in this day.
Right now we're talking to Tony Gonzalez. He is part of the Amazon Thursday night crew that starts this week as the Bills take on the Dolphins. I do want to ask you a question about Travis Kelce and where we are now. You obviously set an incredible standard here in Kansas City, one of the greatest tight ends to play. How cool has it been to see Travis Kelce continue on what you built here?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I've known Travis since he first got in the league. I remember Allen Wright texted me when I was playing for Atlanta, and he says, hey, we got a good one down here, young guy. Do you mind if I give him your phone number? And I said, absolutely. And we've been in touch ever since. He would send me, you know, pictures of him watching my tape when he was young. This is before he became, quote-unquote, Travis Kelce. So I've been rooting for him and watching his game evolve for a long time. He's one of the best to ever do it. And I love the leadership way, his style. I've always said he's kind of like my alter ego. I wish I had a little bit more Travis in me when I played. Like the way he just lets it all hang out there on the field, off the field, in the locker room, the leadership, everything. The acting, him dating – Taylor, all that stuff. I love watching him do his thing. And he's still got it. I mean, I've talked to him last time I spoke to him. We were talking about longevity now. And I think his mind is starting to shift to maybe, you know, seeing if he can squeeze some more great years out of his body. And he wants to know, okay. And I played till I was 37, and there is no doubt in my mind that he can do it. But you know, he's going to have to, like we all do, we got to change some things. But I hope that he's able to keep it up for another 2-3 years because he's a phenomenal football player, one of the best to ever do it. And I'm glad to say that I'm proud to know him, and I'm proud to have watched him play and to be able to share a uniform with him. I mean, it's been great.
Tony, I'm guessing you get asked this by players all the time. At 37 years old, you had 83 catches, 859 yards, and 8 touchdowns. You're not supposed to do that in that stage of your career. What was your key to being as productive as you were so late in your career and also healthy? I mean, you were a guy that was going to play every single Sunday, and you did that from 98 till 2013.
Well, I was pretty conscious, health conscious. I was always trying new things, nutritional. You know, I went vegan for a while. That didn't work. That didn't last long. Let me get that out of the way. I was obsessed with the weight room, stretching, getting my sleep, especially towards the end of my career. That was really, really important. And that's what I tell all these players. If you want to extend yourself and your longevity, you make sure you're getting your rest and you know, 10 hours of sleep a night. It's what Tom Brady did. You really got to lay back on the partying a little bit and I admit it, I liked the nightlife when I played, but you have to dial that back. And then you got to learn how to roll with the hit. You know, when you're getting hit over the middle and stuff, there's certain ways to fall. I practice falling. A lot of people don't, that when they get a little, they're a little surprised to hear that. But I would practice falling down, rolling into the hit, away from the hit, I'm sorry. You know, to take away some of that collision force. These are all things. And then, obviously, you get lucky, too. There's no doubt about it. You're constantly looking around to make sure nobody's falling on your legs. That can happen at any time. Going back to Travis Kelce, I think that's something that he'll start to do. And sometimes it's like, hey, we live to fight another day. If there's a situation, you see three guys coming, it's like, just get down. It's not worth the extra yard because we need you. And in situations you got to go get a first down, go get it. And you got to put it on the line again. But that's how you last a long time in this league is you got to make sure that you're cognizant about your rest, weight room, your nutrition, hydration, all that stuff. It's very important to play for a long time.
Right now, we're talking to Tony Gonzalez for a couple more minutes here. Tony, you were one of the few people, in my opinion, that can say that they helped revolutionize a position. Like when I think of my generation and just watching Marshall Faulk and the kind of dual threat that he was, and then you had Tomlinson, I think of the way the tight end position has sort of evolved and changed over time. You're kind of the godfather of that. You know, you played basketball, and then you had Antonio Gates and Travis Kelce and Gronk and Sam LaPorta now. How does it feel to know that you're one of the players that have left that kind of mark on the game?
Yeah, it's great. I remember when I first came into the league, people asked me this all the time. And I remember coming in and the tight end position was that extended offensive lineman. The guy is going to catch, you know, 18 to 45 balls, 50 balls. And don't get me wrong, there's guys that have done it. Kellen Winslow, Shannon Sharp. But it wasn't that consistent. And most guys would stay in the line, like right next to the tackle. That's where you would take off from. But for me, especially going into my third year, and I did a lot of this in college and I did it in high school. I played tight end, but then if it was a passing situation, I asked my coach in high school, I said, can I get up and just stand up like a receiver? And he's all, sure, why not? And then we started doing that. And that sounds normal now, like it's not a big deal. But when I got to the NFL, no tight ends did that. It was very, very rare. But for me, they would put me, I mean, Jimmy Ray, my offensive coordinator, and Paul Hackett, my rookie year, I remember in the playoff game, they split me out wide and would just throw me jump passes. I had one in the playoffs. It didn't count, but scored a touchdown on it. And they would just move me around. I played the Z, I played the X, I played the Y, I played the F position. I'd come out of the backfield. And it was all about creating matchups and using my athleticism. And now you see every tight end doing that. So, yeah, I'm proud that I was able to be, you know, the guy who kind of started all that type of stuff. And guys would take it and add to it, guys like Antonio Gates. And now you see most of the tight ends in the league, you know, they hardly ever put their hand in the dirt. They're standing up most of the time. I hope they pay them like that, though, too. That's the other flip side of it, is if these guys are standing up all the time, they're catching 100 balls and 1,200 yards, you better pay them like receivers then.
That is Tony Gonzalez joining us on the show today. He is part of the Amazon Thursday Night crew. Thursday Night Football streams exclusively on Amazon Prime Video Thursday nights throughout the NFL season. It starts this Thursday with Bills and Dolphins. Tony Gonzalez is one of the greatest players to play in a Chiefs uniform, one of the greatest players to play in the NFL. He is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Tony, it was an honor to have you join us today. We had Mitch Holtis on the show earlier, and he told us to tell you hello.
Yeah, Don't miss that Zen alone, my old buddy. Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Tony Gonzalez joining us on the show today. Simply put, he is one of the greatest players that the NFL has ever had. Six-time first-team All-Pro, four-time second-team. He made the Pro Bowl 14 years, all-decade team on the all-anniversary team, Chiefs Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Tony Gonzalez is a one-of-one. I do think he is one of the players, like certainly for our generation. I can't speak, you know, in the 80s. I'm sure there was somebody that did it like that. But, like, Rob, for our generation of watching football, there were certain kind of trendsetters. Like, teams didn't really use running backs the way that the Rams started to use Marshall Faulk. And now you look at it, that's kind of become the standard of the kind of back that you want, a guy that can be a little bit multi-purpose. A guy like Breece Hall, for example, a guy like Christian McCaffrey. You want a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield and make plays in that way. When you think of the kind of tight end that Tony Gonzalez was and what the next 20 years of that position looks like, you can really attribute a lot of those things to him as just being a guy that you could line up on the outside, you could throw a fade route to him, a guy that could work over the middle of the field, a guy that could block, a guy that could catch, a guy that was super athletic and can run. He is truly one of the most innovative players in league history.
I mean, he said it perfectly. When he first came in the league, he and every tight end was, you put your hand in your dirt and you're the extension of the tackle. Like, think about, even in his time, think about Jason Dunn. Jason Dunn was basically viewed as a blocker who every once in a while would pop out for a reception. Tony Gonzalez was a wide receiver playing tight end. And now you look across the NFL, it's not just Travis Kelce. Everyone who plays that position is a wide receiver who just is playing tight end. Sam Laporta, TJ Hockenson. I mean, Travis Kelce's an obvious one, like I mentioned. There are guys everywhere who play it that way. They still have to block, but it's, hey, go split out. Hey, do this, do that. He was truly innovative. In that same vein, who's the innovator that led to the read option stuff coming in the league? Because as you guys were talking about being an innovator, Marshall Faulk and him, who's the guy?
I don't think you're going to like my answer.
Because when we were young, the read option and all that stuff was viewed as like, you can never do it. You got to take your 7-step drop. Like, it's now a thing. Who's that guy? Who's the quarterback we saw?
Are people ready to have this conversation? Because the answer is Colin Kaepernick. That's the answer. Those first 2 years of Colin Kaepernick were dynamic. I think it's him. Tell me who you think it is if it's not Colin Kaepernick. Where we're talking like RPO, college systems, running the pistol, dual threat kind of guy. He ran a very different kind of offense than Michael Vick. Very different offense than what I think Lamar has kind of turned into. I think Cap's in the conversation for one of the players that when you think about college schemes and them being integrated into NFL offenses and the shift that started, I think he's near the conversation of the shift. Offense has changed over the last 15 years. Who caused it to change? I think what happened was the spread became so prominent in college football where you remember when you and I were evaluating quarterbacks in the very beginning, man, if you didn't take snaps from under center, people didn't think you could play quarterback in the NFL. Well, eventually everybody in college wasn't taking snaps like that. So you had to kind of adapt to what they were. So the RPO stuff, the running and throwing, it eventually had to change. And that's just made it so hard to evaluate the position now. We haven't talked a whole lot about it today. We'll talk about it more as the week progresses. This was a bad week for young quarterbacks in the league. I mean, Jaden Daniels wasn't that great. I know he ran the ball effectively. He didn't throw it that well this week. Caleb Williams was bad this week. Bryce Young was bad this week. Some of the young quarterbacks in the league, they really, really struggled. There's some conversations to have about, is defense catching up to the offense? Or is defensive line so far ahead of where offensive lines is? We'll get to those stats over the course of the week. But the passing numbers, they've really gotten bad in the NFL. And offensive numbers are down big in the league over the course of the last couple of years. Coming up on the other side, we have Patrick Mahomes on the show. A very busy show today. Patrick Mahomes, Tony Gonzalez, and Mitch Holtis. It is football season here on The Drive.
The Drive. With Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We have had a busy day here on The Drive. If you've missed any of it, be sure to check out the podcast page on 96.5thefan.com. You can also check it on the Odyssey app. We've been talking about some of the top stories in the NFL. Cincinnati, they had a very disjointed August, which has led to a very disjointed September. We are talking about Deshaun Watson, who has officially become one of the three worst starting quarterbacks in the National Football League. It is him. It is Daniel Jones. It is Bryce Young. He has the worst contract in the league. He has been abysmal since taking over for the Cleveland Browns. There is a lot to get into. We're going to cover it all this week. We are off a little bit early today because of the Royals. They are in the Eastern time zone. Earlier today, we got a chance to catch up with Patrick Mahomes. We've cut this down to the best of it. Our conversation with Patrick Mahomes starts with what you saw from the rookie, Xavier Worthy. He touched it three times. He scored on twice.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he just, it's like when he wants to go, he can go. And it's a speed that he does a really good job of using it to his advantage. I mean, obviously, there's, you can be fast and just run fast the whole time. But it seems like he kind of waits to the right moments to use that speed. And you just try to get the football in his hands, man, and let him make plays. And I thought he had did a great job. And as he gets more and more comfortable in the offense, he'll be more and more involved. But we got a lot of explosion around across the entire football field. And that was great to see this last week, and we're going to try to build on top of that.
One thing that I don't think you get enough credit for is you're really good at making sure guys get their game ball when they have their first touchdown. Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just because it's such an important moment. I mean, whenever you grow up, man, you want to get in the end zone and score that touchdown. And so a lot of times when you do score the touchdown, the guys are excited, they're celebrating, and kind of – you got kind of go crazy. And so I want to make sure those guys have that moment. And just like guys have helped me in the past, and like I got the football from the passing Lynn Dawson's record, that's stuff that you forever will remember, and you want to have those footballs. And so I try to make sure to grab those for the guys. And in the excitement of the moment, they'll be able to have that memory.
You're so good at getting game balls for other people. How many game balls do you have? What game ball means the most to you?
I have a ton of them, but I think the ones that mean the most is I kept every football from the games of the first Super Bowl run, and so I have the divisional round comeback, the AFC championship comeback, and then the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl that we won. I have the game ball from all three of those, and so I think those are the ones that are probably mean the most to me because it was the first run. It was such a magical run, and it kind of really started what we've kind of done so far.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, for a couple more minutes here. I'm sure you've seen the picture on social media. It's like Lynn Dawson, and he has his arm around you, and you guys are on the field. How special is it that you got a chance to meet him before he passed, and you passed his record, and you guys are always going to be intertwined as all-time great Kansas City Chiefs quarterbacks?
I mean, yeah, it's extremely special. I mean, just the few times I got to talk to him and the advice that he gave me, man, about how to just be myself and go out there and play the football, the game that I love, just like the game that it is, and enjoy it. I mean, he was a special guy. I mean, obviously, he's a pioneer of the quarterback position. I mean, the way he was able to put up these records that it took me eight years to get past, man. And he was playing in an era where throwing the football was almost like you shouldn't do it. So, I mean, he's just a pioneer of the quarterback position. He gave me some great advice, and I'm very appreciative of being able to pass this record because knowing the type of guy that he is.
Your name comes up anytime a quarterback gets paid. We saw Dak Prescott get a four-year, $240 million. Somebody always inevitably asks you about your contract. You've been pretty steadfast that you're happy with your deal. How cool is it to see that, you know, every contract you feel like the numbers are just getting bigger and bigger at your position?
I mean, that's what you want. You want to keep pushing the game forward. And I think it's awesome for the quarterback position, but just in the NFL in general is that guys keep getting paid more and more money. It's letting guys live out their dreams and get paid to take care of their families for a long, long time. And then it gives the next guy an opportunity to go out there and search for that as well. And so it's all about pushing the game forward. The NFL is bringing in a lot of money, and I want guys all around the league that are playing to be able to take care of their families for a long time because they're going out there and playing the right way.
Last thing here, I think Cincinnati is you guys' rival. Obviously, you have rivalries in your division. Buffalo's been tough. Baltimore's been tough. I define rivalries in pro sports by two teams that are fighting for the same thing that just seem to have an equal dislike for each other. You guys don't like them. They don't like you. It's fun. It's football. What is it like to go against this team so early in the season and have two really important AFC games off the jump?
Yeah, I mean, we knew about it all offseason, man. We're going to play two of the best teams in the league in the first 2 weeks. And so we have to have that right focus to come out through training camp and come out ready to play. And we were able to go out there and beat a good Ravens team, and now we're playing a really good Cincinnati team. And obviously they didn't have the first week that they wanted to, so they're going to even be more hungry to go out there and try to get a win. So it's going to take our best football, and we know that. And so we're going to go out there and prepare ourselves this week to go out there and play our best football on Sunday.
If you want to catch our full conversation with Patrick Mahomes, you can do so. Check it on 96.5thefan.com, also the Odyssey app. We get a chance every Monday to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Before we hand things off to the Royals, let me tell you guys right now that the Royals are going to the postseason. If you don't believe me, that's perfectly fine, but can you believe and trust in the math? FanGraphs has the Royals with a 94.9% chance of making the postseason. Pro Baseball Reference has the Royals at a 95.6% chance of making the postseason. The Royals this weekend did exactly what you were supposed to do. The team that was directly ahead of them in the wild card standings, they beat that team three consecutive times. Look up. The Royals are 2.5 games back of the division. They still got a chance to do this thing. Now, it is 18 games left in the season, so there is not a lot of time to catch Cleveland. You got to get going. You got to get hot, and you got to hope that Cleveland gets a little bit cold. But at this point, you should start planning some personal time off, because the Royals got some postseason games. Now, maybe you don't plan on going to the games, but they're going to be postseason games for the Kansas City Royals. They are 2.5 games up on Minnesota. They are 5.5 games up on Detroit and Seattle with 18 to go. The Royals are making the postseason. I had a lot of fun today. Rob, I appreciate your help. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Go Royals. Keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran,
and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.